Hello and welcome to the Authority of Love, and I'm joined once again today for a Family Foundation Friday by our excellent co-host David Walls of the Family Foundation. David, thanks as always. Appreciate you joining us.
Greg, you're the excellent one as it relates to this program. Yeah. Always glad to be able to join you.
Well, on these days, I'm certainly not. I don't know that I ever am, but on these days, you're the man, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you doing it. Love to have the Family Foundation on. As you've said many times, most people know I was here for 11 years and near and dear to my heart with Kent and then yourself and what you guys have been doing. So we want to jump right in here because there's a lot of things to wrap up. David, we talked a little bit about these, so we're not going to hit them as much on Wednesday for women with Adia Wisher, our good friend Adia. But there are some things that we want to hit on and things that have happened since then that we can talk about and update. So thank the Lord. Praise the Lord for a great end. There were things left and we got to do, but recap what you saw and give us some things that have happened in the last couple of days.
Yeah, so the legislative session ended on Monday, sine die, end of the 60 days. I'm gonna make a little joke here, but I mean well. You know, all of Kentucky can take a breath. Your liberty is no longer at stake when at least from the legislative branch. Right. When the no, that's an old legislative session joke. But I'm certainly thankful. Look, it's a tough job and calling to be in elective office and to serve and you know, they had to pass a budget, you know, constitutionally required to pass a budget,
which is a big issue
and all the things. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of legislators are using this week to kind of exhale and debrief. You know, a lot of them have, you know, it is a part-time legislature. So, you know, getting back full speed in their jobs and back home. So if you've got a personal relationship with a legislator, a way to reach out and just encourage them and say thank you for serving. And do that this week. But it certainly was some things happened, some interesting things happened in the final hours, even the final days. And, you know, I sent out a little brief recap. We'll be doing more recaps. You and I will be talking and breaking down some more of the session in the days and weeks to come, Greg. But one of the big takeaways I have that I think we all need to really be thankful to the Lord for, thankful to the General Assembly, to leadership in both chambers and the members, and thankful to you, so many faithful folks that engaged on the life issue this session. Mm-hmm. Certainly there were some other things that we were hoping to get accomplished, but one of the big things was we wanted to encourage the General Assembly to hold the line, because there were a lot of attempts and bills filed and efforts to weaken, undermine, add exceptions to Kentucky's pro-life laws, and all of those failed. Yeah. And so Kentucky's pro-life laws continue to remain strong. So that's something we're thankful for. There was an attempt on the very last day by one of the pro-abortion state senators, Democrat David Yates from Louisville. Right. He had a press conference, announced he was going to do this, but essentially was going to try to do a procedural maneuver to try to force a vote on his bill that would add a host of exceptions to re-legalize abortion in certain contexts in a bunch of Kentucky's pro-life laws. He did end up following through with that and attempting to do that on the last day. It really was a pretty desperate move, because even if he had succeeded in this procedural effort, which he did not, there wouldn't even have been another legislative day to even pass the bill, let alone to have this bill pass in the House.
Political
stunt.
But
my takeaway from that was, look, he was committed to do everything in his power to try to promote his view, which is a pro-abortion view.
Right.
And it's a reminder to us as believers and to the pro-life movement that we have to remain committed to standing for life and standing up to each and every challenge and casting a vision forward of the pro-life culture that we want to continue to grow and develop, and to encourage our legislators who are under an incredible onslaught, not just here in Kentucky, but as you and I talked last week in Arizona and Florida, things are developing on these issues in the presidential races. You and I talked all over the nation. But there was a really instructive moment this week that I think added some clarity.
Well, before you go to that, I want to say something, because I thought about this as you were talking, David. I sometimes, and I know there are some, but I think there are some who waffle when the fires get a little hot.
Yeah.
I would hope and pray that all of those who truly stand for life would be willing to, even in the throes and the heat of the moment, do what Senator Yates was willing to do on his stand.
Yeah.
And go, no, we're going to stand strongly on this and not waffle.
Yeah.
And of course, that kind of pitches it back to you, because you're going to talk about something that I think was very interesting. I read it, and you saw it.
Yeah. Well, and this has kind of gone viral, but Bill Maher, who's a, you know, used to host a Politically Incorrect and now hosts a show on HBO.
Yeah. And he very seldom was.
Right. And he's openly, you know, atheist. But, you know, a lot of times he at least has the clarity to state exactly what he believes, which sometimes is representative of what some folks believe, but they just won't say.
Right.
And so the abortion debate came up on his program recently, and he made some comments, some clarifying comments, some horrific comments.
Yeah. It started out pretty good.
Right. And he essentially made the point, look, you know, the pro-abortion movement wants to paint the pro-life movement is really being anti-women, anti-health, and that's not what this is about at all.
I think he used the word, we hate women, right?
Yeah, right. And he was like,
no way.
They don't. The sincere people in the pro-life movement believe that life begins at conception and that abortion is murder. Yeah. You know, it's killing an unborn child.
Yeah,
he said that. And
he said it sort of is.
And he said, and he agreed. He agreed. Yeah. He said, It you know, they have a point. It essentially is. And then he said, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with murder.
Right.
And the reason that he gave in these comments was because there's 8 billion people in
population
the world, I guess,
control.
too many people.
Yeah.
I forget his exact words, but who's going to miss one other person?
You won't be missed.
You won't be missed.
Right. Right. And here's the interesting thing, David, and I mentioned it there. I don't know if our audience heard it, our listeners heard it, but I mentioned the phrase population control. If you go back and dig deep enough on most of these issues, DEI and LGBTQ, much of that, abortion and these, this is an underlying thing.
Yeah.
And I've often said to them, listen, if you really believe that, why don't you step up and be the first? That there's a double-mindedness in all of this on the left, on this side.
Yeah.
And he just exposed it. I'm glad he was willing to state it the way he did.
Yeah.
But he exposed it even more. So, we've got to be diligent. That's your point, and I agree with it. And I hope our listeners agree with it, or at least are willing to listen to that with us. And finish up a little bit more. I know you have some more that happened in the legislature.
Yeah, so certainly thankful for, you know, the legislature holding the line on the pro-life issue.
Yep.
You know, a couple other, I think some of the important wins for families and for the broad pro-family movement here in Kentucky that we've mentioned previously, but just to remind our listeners, is the school choice constitutional amendment that passed a little bit earlier in this session that will... It's going to be a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot.
Yeah.
It passed the General Assembly with the 60% necessary. And so voters are going to have an opportunity in November to make a choice. Do we want the General Assembly, do we want to have the ability to have more school choice options, educational choice options moving forward or not? It doesn't prescribe what those options and the way that the programs might be set up are. It's just as simply adding clarity to the Kentucky Constitution to say that Kentucky can have a robust debate and discussion on what school choice will look like. And what's interesting, Greg, is there's been an explosion in states passing school choice programs just in the last few weeks. So that was a big one. And then one of the other ones that you and I talked more about last week was the bill by our good friend Representative Matt Lockett to protect kids from online pornography by requiring age verification, meaningful age verification. And again, that bill passed overwhelmingly and has already been signed into law by the governor. So a couple other bills that I think we just, Greg, you and I looked up that I think the governor has signed that passed on one of the last 2 days was House Bill 272 by Representative Nancy Tate, which was just an update, some needed updated language to the Safe Haven Baby Box.
Right.
And so thankful to continue to see those Safe Haven Baby Boxes that are going up. And in fact, our good friends at Central Kentucky Right to Life are fixing to have their annual dinner here in Lexington, yes, and they're having, yes. I'm going to blank on the name, but the lady that started the Safe Haven, yep, the Baby Box, is going to be speaking, so yeah. Excited for that pro-life event and for her. So, and then also the Momnibus bill, and we don't have time to break it all down, ended up being included on an amendment on another bill that has passed and now been signed into law by the governor as well.
Yeah, so good things there,
yeah.
Positive things. I would go back to the school choice amendment, you mentioned it, and say this, not only is it good for kids, but the research on the states that have done it are showing it's good for families and it's good for the communities and the culture of the state.
It's good for the public school system as well.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
A rising tide lifts all ships. We've said that before, and that's what has happened. They don't want to lose that control, though. So many don't. Yeah. So appreciative of that. We got one more big thing right now to talk about, and that's the primaries coming up in 5 weeks, May 21st, right?
Yeah. As I said in our email that I sent out to our supporters, and folks can sign up at KentuckyFamily.org to get our email updates. But we're in primary season now that the session is over, and so Kentucky's primary election is Tuesday, May 21st, and we're excited. We've once again partnered with our friends at iVoter Guide, which the largest Christian voter guide. They do voter guides in states all across the nation, but we partnered with them for our Kentucky primary voter guide. Folks can access that at votekentucky.us.
And spell that all out.
Yeah, spell it all out.
Kentucky, spell it all out.
Votekentucky.us. And you will find very detailed, I would say the most detailed voter guide information on candidates that are running in contested primary races. And some of the most high profile important ones are some key state legislative races in the House and in the Senate that in some cases you have open seats. So you've got a contested primary. In some cases, you've got, you know, someone running in a primary to challenge an incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the high-profile races
right here in our listening area,
House District 45, State Representative Killian Timoney is running for re-election. And there's another candidate that's challenging him in Thomas Jefferson. And so there's two candidates in this race, and we've got a really good amount of information on both of those gentlemen where you can see if they filled out the candidate questionnaire, issue questionnaire, and other information that's been collected. And again, the heart and desire of our voter guide efforts and our partnership with iVoter Guide is just to help equip Christians and Kentuckians to vote informed, to vote wisely on election day. We need to be prepared to do that May 21st on primary election day, and to prepare for the coming November general election as well.
We're just heating up.
And we will be updating and putting out a general election voter guide later in the year.
David, clarify this one thing. We've got about a minute left. Clarify this very quickly. Is the Kentucky iVoter Guide that they're going to get, is that rooted in Christian principles? I believe, or just conservative.
Well,
there is a difference.
Yeah. It is. It's a Christian organization.
Yes, that's what I want our listeners to hear.
But they cover a wide variety of issues, and they pull in information from both organizations on the left and right. So, for example, if they have a voting history, they'll pull in legislative scorecard information from our organization and from organizations left to center.
Yeah.
Whatever information can be pulled in, they try to pull that in so voters can have all the information to make an informed
But they're
decision.
Standing on the Christian principles. So if you see two conservatives, you might see a difference. And that's part of what we're pointing out with Jefferson and Timoney. So look at that and look at all the others. Don't forget the NAIA voted to not allow males of any kind to compete in women's sports. That's a great thing. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks always to the Lord. Thank you, co-host David Wallace. Appreciate it. Have a great day in the love and lordship of Christ. And God bless.